All right. Y'all. How are y'all doing? How's break? How's life? Oh, catch you up. Okay, let's move to questions. So I have a couple topics. I have three, and if y'all want to talk about something else, we can figure that out. But the first topic I was going to talk about was high school parties. Have y'all been to a high school party or heard of high school parties or talked about, like, have y'all planned any? How? No?
I heard of one, but then after that party, everyone at that school got COVID, and then they shut down the district, so that wasn't the best.
Okay. Well, okay. Have you guys like heard of like things that may or may not happen at parties? Like drama, alcohol, drugs, nothing.
Yeah, kind of. I do have an older sister. So she's told me a few things.
Okay, well, as older sister, I am a senior, so I've had my due diligence with high school parties. I mean, since you guys haven't really like experienced any, do you guys have any questions or like any ideas or like comments about any high school parties? Go ahead, Fair.
So, are they really like the dramatized movies about like and like everything going on? Is it actually like that, or a little bit, or not at all?
Do you mean in terms of what? Like, in terms of like relationships or like what do you mean? Everything? I think it really depends on who's throwing the party and what the party is like for. There's definitely like you're definitely gonna be exposed, if that makes sense. Like you're gonna be around alcohol and people and maybe drugs. It is like depending on who's there, it gets really intense or like live, I guess you can say. But as long as you kind of understand like your space, you should be good. But yes, it is kind of like party, like the movies. Any other questions? No? Comments, concerns, ideas? Anyone throwing a party? No. Okay. I do have a question. When you guys do decide to go to a high school party, what do you think are some limits that you'll have? Like, yeah, what's some limits that you'll have?
Don't get drunk. What, bro? And just don't get drunk or don't drink at all.
Okay. Anyone else?
Yeah, same as him. I like being in control of my body. I don't like doing anything like that, like drugs or alcohol.
That's understandable.
And
Cameron?
don't get
No.
anybody pregnant. What, bro? Bro, bro.
Okay. Cameron, Farah.
I mean, I doubt that I'll find myself at a party because that's just like, I doubt that I'll ever find out about one until after it happens. But like, I don't know. I don't really like the smell of alcohol, so I doubt I'd even show up.
Absolutely no drugs of any sort or kind. You know, people be lacing stuff. I'm not trying to die. Any type of alcohol would pop. I would have to get it myself, like, because, you know, tamper with it. I mean, not that I would, but I'm just saying, hypothetically, no drugs at all.
That makes sense. Pro tip for everyone, if you do get a drink from someone, and the ice isn't floating, then there's drugs in the cup. So don't drink that alcohol. Okay? All right. Next conversation. Everyone ready to move on? Okay. The next conversation I have is LGBTQ in high school. How do you guys feel about that? Like, how do you, I know, like, the topic is kind of a touchy topic for some people. So how do you guys feel about it? What are your thoughts around it?
Do what you want with your body. I just don't think, like, I don't think you should be having any surgery until you're 18, until, like, you can actually think the full process out. But other than that, like, do what you want. Be you.
Oh, you're talking about, like, transitioning people?
Yeah, like, I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying wait until you're 18 so you can think the process fully through. And, like, if you really want to do it and you have, like, and you've thought about it, then, yeah, go for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, makes sense.
Legally, I don't think you can get transitioning surgery until you're 18, so. But are you asking just, like, how we feel about, like, LGBTQ in general?
Yeah, or, like, I know that in my school, a lot of people came out pretty early on. And so we have a, like, really large crowd of people who are in the, like, who identify with the LGBTQ community. And because we're the generation that kind of came with everybody coming out, I think a lot of people have more questions or, like, opinions about it. And I think that our generation is kind of like 50-50, like, you're okay with it or you're not okay with it. I just want to hear, like, you guys, like, what you guys think about it.
Yeah, personally, I do support the LGBTQ community. And my school also does have, like, a pretty good amount of people in that community. And the school population. I mean, like, a lot of my friends, like, my close friends are in the LGBTQ community. And, I mean, they have, like, we have a spectrum club at our school that, like, does, like, they have, like, a assembly where they do, like, a big presentation where people did, like, personal narratives about their experience being a part of the community at school and their experience being part of the community, like, in general, like, in their lives and stuff, how that's affected them. And we've also done different assemblies, like, with, like, professionals who've come in at my school and have talked about, like, gender and sexuality and how that comes into play at an all-girls school, and, like, because my school's an all-girls school, but, yeah, but, like, I don't know, I've been pretty well-versed in, like, knowledge about it, but I don't really know everything, but I do tend to talk to my friends who are a part of the community about their personal experiences, because they've come to me, and they've talked about how, like, those speakers, though they have said a lot and upset a lot of stuff that I didn't know. They felt like they didn't really touch on their personal experiences being in the community. So yeah, that's all. Like, I reported, and like, if things that I don't know or that I don't understand, I do tend to talk to my friends about it. And my friends, yeah, they tell me about their experiences, and they say like how their experiences aren't like the experiences of the entire community, but it is nice to see other perspectives.
Fair, Rachel?
My mindset on it is not to sound like that, but I don't care. Like, it's your choice. You do whatever you want. Like, whatever what somebody else is doing isn't harming you. So, like, let people do what they want. And I'm not against it at all. I know a lot of people. Well, there was a lot more at my middle school. A lot of people were out, especially in middle school, at least at mine. And at my school now, we have a couple transgender people. And we also have gender neutral bathrooms on some of the floors, too. So, yeah.
Bradshaw?
I don't got nothing.
Well, to go back to what Farrah was saying, my school has a lot of gender neutral bathrooms as well. My school is also kind of like really, I guess you could call it liberal. So like, we're not liberal, inclusive. So like, my school has like certain rules and things that traditional high schools don't have. Like, instead of a prom king and king or like a homecoming court, we just kind of don't have that because of people who like identify as they, them pronouns, or people who don't necessarily want to be called a king or queen. And I know that raised like a lot of conversation in my school. What do you guys think about that?
My school doesn't have homecoming, but being an all-girls school, we've had similar conversations. Like, we have a position in our like student government that is like the student face of the school. And recently within the student government, we had like multiple week-long conversations like about like if being an all-girls school, the student face of the school needs to be someone who identifies as a woman. So we have had conversations about like those labels, because that we do have a lot of things around the school, like the rules within the school, and like our mission statement originally said that it was like for uplifting women and girls, but there are students at my school that don't identify as a girl. So we were trying to like navigate how that works as an all-girls school. So I understand like the with the homecoming, like not having king and queen. I don't understand getting rid of it entirely. I feel like it'd be very easy to just change it to like homecoming royalty or something, and then just elect two people regardless of their gender. I don't know. I feel like that would be easier than just getting rid of all of it.
My school doesn't have homecoming either. Obviously the seniors have prom, but we don't have like those titles or nothing. But I don't know if Maryland schools do this too, but in DC we have like these tests on paper, it's not really a test, but it's like identifying yourself. And we just had one in school a couple months ago, and it was like asking your age, your weight, your height, and then it went into like your sexuality and your pronouns, and then also about if you take drugs or you drank stuff. Like, I think it was like trying to figure out if your home life is okay, because they kept asking like, do your parents drink and drive or stuff like that. But we've gotten those tests throughout the years. Not all the questions, the questions weren't always the same in elementary school, but we had those like middle school and stuff. And I've noticed how the questions have expanded to fit everybody. Like, instead of just asking the gender being girl, boy, and other, they've like extended it, or like sexualities, they've extended like the options and stuff. So I've noticed like DCPS specifically trying to be more inclusive for the system wise.
I took that test too, and they asked me if I did crack and heroin, and all my friends started busting out laughing. But honestly, I don't really care about homecoming and stuff. But when it comes to people's titles, when they tell me what they want to be called, then I'll call them that. And if like one of my friends calls them the wrong thing, then I'll correct my friend, because, you know, I'm just trying to be respectful. But yeah.
Yeah, at my school, they also sent like a Google Forms out asking questions like that about your sexuality. I don't know about the like, do you do crack and stuff, but they definitely asked about your sexuality. They were trying to like know who the school is. We haven't done anything with the homecoming king and queen. And I don't think any school in our county has. Like, I don't know if they mind so much, because I don't know. They just haven't.
Yeah. To the survey, I had to take it too. I think it's a DC thing. But they asked some pretty interesting questions. But I think that the survey was also what is the word? Anonymous. So I don't think that they kind of like, I don't think that they like knew your name or like knew your home life. I think it was just kind of like I don't know, trying to get like research or something. Because they did ask some very weird questions, like about crack and your like sex life and all of that. So it was pretty interesting.
They was asking people if they was carrying guns at school. Oh, somebody admit to carrying a gun at school.
My school took a similar quiz. They were looking for like the demographics of the school, basically. Yeah. And they like asked questions like similar to that. They didn't ask any about guns, but they did ask questions about like your sexuality and gender, and like they were asking questions about like if you'd ever taken drugs or drinking alcohol or send nudes or something like that. And it was like a bunch of really random questions, and they started asking about your parents' level of income and their highest level of education and a bunch of other stuff like that. I don't really know what the point of asking some of the questions were, but I know that the school was looking for demographics that they said they could better serve the community.
Yeah. Do you think that they actually do help serve the community? Like where you are right now, at like in high school, do you think that they help? This is for like all of you all.
I mean, I feel like in some ways they could help, because I feel like sometimes the school, like with certain things that we don't really talk about, they like greatly underestimate like the frequency of them. I mean, like they ask a lot of questions about mental health, which is not, I mean, at my school we do talk about it frequently, but I know like in general, like that's not something that's commonly talked about. And like with those demographics, I feel like it'd be easier to like understand like how like what percentage of the schools going through this. And another thing, like they asked questions about like another thing, like my school has a really big Jewish population because we're a non-religious like independent school, so but that we don't like we didn't have until this year, we didn't have any of the Jewish holidays off, and so all of my classes on those days would have like two or three people in them. So I don't know, like I feel like those demographics help with things like that, like the things that like the huge populations of the school with things that we don't really talk about. Like I feel like we could better help the school work for the majority of the students if we understand who the majority is.
Farah, Rachel, Supri.
The forms that we take, I feel like they want to feel like that they're doing something, but I don't think it's making the big impact that they wish that they could. Like a lot of the questions in the survey, honestly, a lot of them, like they were asking what grade and race you are, and with process of elimination, you could kind of figure out who that is. But I don't feel like it really helped too much, especially like the mental health seminars we would have, like the for like assemblies. And they would keep expressing that, oh, you can go downstairs to the counselors if you ever need to talk. But my mindset is, when will we have that time to leave our class to go do that? Like, because we have a, our teachers give us a lot of work and very little time to get anything else done. So I'm like, if you miss a part of class, then you got to make up that and then the next class. So when would you have time to get the help that you keep saying that we have downstairs? Instead of, like, I feel like they don't give us, they're not, the options aren't large enough for what they want to accomplish. That makes sense.
Yeah.
To be completely honest, like at my school, I got like maybe one teacher there that I'd tell if I was feeling any type of way. Like those, that's one teacher out of like 100 that I'd talk to, one teacher or staff. Cause like, I don't know, I feel like there's a disconnect between students and staff nowadays. Like you don't, there's like, you have one teacher that you're cool with or two teachers, and then everyone else is just like there. I don't know.
Yeah. I noticed that, and I also noticed that our generation is a lot more vocal about mental health. But I also know that a lot of people understand that staff in the school are mandated reporters, so it's harder to communicate with a staff member, because I think that we get scared that, you know, someone's gonna say something, or that we're not gonna be listened to, or that like it's just gonna go through one ear and come out the other. Like it's not really gonna be communicated in a good way. And I know, you know, not to call out my school or anything, but I know for my school, we have like a really crappy discipline. So like, I don't know if you guys are on social media a whole lot over quarantine, but for DC schools, a lot of sexual assault survivors were, you know, telling their stories in like the DC schools area, to the point where DCPS and DCPCS were trying to take down accounts because it was making them look bad. And I know for my school, we had an account of like stories and like, you know, people being called out. And the people who made those accounts were punished, not for, you know, saying something that was overly sexualized or overly like overly dramatic, but more so because my school wanted to kind of save their reputation. And I noticed that happens a lot in a lot of schools where, and so when, like for me, when I'm looking at if I'm going to tell an adult something or not, it's more so, are they going to help me or are they going to save their reputation? Does that make sense? What do y'all think about that?
Yeah. The teacher that I talk to at my school, like the one that I'm close with, that all the kids are close with, we know that like if we tell her something, it's going to stay between us. And she's also like, she's not like a criminal, but she's like willing to go against the rules. So it's, she's pretty cool, right? So, I mean, you need to find someone like that in the school, I think. But I won't tell anyone else probably anything ever. I don't trust them enough.
I mean, for me, I wouldn't really talk to a teacher because, like, most of my teachers, I don't really like them. Like, we have, like, these groups, like, we have these, like, advisors that are assigned to us that we're supposed to be, like, here are your teachers, like, form a bond with them, like, you can go to them for anything, like, here you go. But I actually, like, I don't like my advisors. They're probably, like, my least favorite people in the entire school building. But like even the teachers that I am close to, it feels like they don't care. Like I feel like talking to them, I just feel like burdening them with my problems because like it's not much they can really do to help me with them anyways. Like unless they pertain to their class. And even then, like the only teacher that I really like in the school is like the course director. And like I don't have any issues in his class, so he can't really help me with my chem lab. So it's not really like my problems, like, well, really, like, ranting to him is not going to do anything for me, really.
Bradshaw Fair.
I don't really talk to anybody about anything, to be honest. I just keep it to myself, so. The last person I would honestly trust is the teacher because I know they're going to go talk to somebody else about it.
I don't have anything to really say to the teachers. I know a lot of our like kids in the school are most comfortable with their department teachers. Like I know a lot of my friends talk to our dance teachers a lot. Well, just one specific one, the one that's the nicest to us. But I feel like that's not going to help solve any of my problems. They're not going to do, like if I say I'm having trouble balancing this and this, they're not gonna do anything to help me with that. So I feel like it's no use for me to tell anybody that. And yeah, like if I were to tell anybody, it would probably be friends from different schools, not the ones from my own. I don't know. Like you would think that they get it more because we're in like the same predicament, but it's just better to have an outside ear, in my opinion, for like a different perspective.
Yeah. I think that right now I'm kind of having like a dang moment. Like I was, you know, a lot of things don't really change in 4 years, but like it kind of seems like this is just a repeating process. Like it kind of seems like schools like will hear us, but they won't listen to us. So I don't know. Y'all need to work on that. Y'all need to do something about that. Come on now. Okay. I think I have one last topic, and then we can go into topics that you guys brought, if you did bring any. The last one is culture and, like, how it is being Black in high school. So for me, my school, I think, is we have a high group of Latino and Black kids in my school. We don't have a lot of white kids or Asian kids in my school. So I think that I kind of, it's a little easier to be complete, like my complete self at school. I think that for me personally, I kind of have some trouble. I've always gone to a school where Latino people are the big group. And so I know, like, I've grown up with the Latino culture. But I think that, no, I'll save that. But what, how is it for you guys?
My school is like 100%, not like 98% Black. And there were two white kids in my grade. One of them, like, they're both my friends, but one of them left. So there's literally one white kid in our grade now. And I think there's one Hispanic dude and then one Middle Eastern guy, but everyone else is Black. My school is smaller though. My school only has like 500 kids in all. It's a charter school.
My school is also small, but it is a PWI. So I'm one of maybe 9 Black kids in my grade. And like, that's, like, I don't know, maybe there are like 2 kids that are Asian. We have 1 Latino student. I don't know, there's not much diversity there. But every year I do see that they like admit more students of other races into the school. So that's nice. But like, I don't know, sometimes it's like, I feel like I forget that, like, because my school is like very like a liberal school, like sometimes I kind of feel like I forget that not everyone knows like everything. Like, I was sitting in history class the other day and I had to explain to someone what the 3/5 compromise was, and that was just kind of like jarring because I was like sitting there like how do you not know this thing that really like affects a part of like how I go through the world and perceive the world. I don't know, sometimes it feels like my close friends are Black, so like I can like turn to them and like talk, and like they understand like what it's like to be in this school and to be Black. And but sometimes like I'll talk to other people in my classes and like the fact that they're just so like astonished by injustice against Black people, and it's like, yep, that is what happens. Like, we did a presentation the other day and people were like and I was like, we did a presentation about like, I did a presentation with one of my friends in history about the colonization of Liberia, and like I was trying to like, I had to like explain so much of the passages to her. She was like, I don't get it, it doesn't make sense. And I was like, how does this not make sense? This is so like clear to me. Like, I don't know, it's just things like that. Like, sometimes I'll feel like it doesn't, like, sometimes I won't really notice like that, like I'm the only like Black kid in this class. But then sometimes I'm sitting there and I'm like, wow, I'm really the only Black kid in this class, you know?
It doesn't really, I don't know. I'm cool with everybody. Everybody's cool with me. Every single race, like, if you're cool, you're cool, to be honest. then I think that's how people see me too. So I don't think people just see me as a black kid, especially since there's a lot of black kids in my school too. And yeah.
My school is majority black kids, like 95%, like 80, and we have a good amount of Hispanic or Latinos or whatever in the school. There's a couple white people. It's not too many, but you can see them. You can most definitely see them. And then now that I think about it, I don't think we have any Asians in our school, like at all. Not in my grade, I don't know. But we may have a large population of black children, but you know, all black kids are, we don't all have the same personalities. So we may have a lot of us, but you know, you can still feel quote unquote alone because you know, some act like this, some act like that. Like there's a different, like any, all the types of versions of personality that you can think of, we have it. And like, there's always like the clique of that group, that group, that group. But you know, that group is black. They're all black. Majority of them are black. But like everybody has like their own personality in the way they are. So I don't think it being black like makes it a certain type of way. Like that stereotypical black child that you would think in all black school is not that way because there's a whole bunch of different personalities there. I know we have one non-black person in our dance department, but the other departments are way more diverse. But yeah, I mean, all my friends are black in this school. I have one Hispanic friend, but everybody else is black. Nothing against the other races. It's just, that's just how it is for me.
So, it seems like we all have a little, go ahead, Cameron.
I don't know. I just wanted to say, like also being black in like a PWI, it seems like everyone's kind of waiting for me to fail, it seems. Like teachers and I feel like my teachers are constantly like expecting less of me in classes. Like they're always like asking me to shoot lower. Like, I don't know. I feel like that might just be my personal experience because I've talked to my other friends about it and they don't have the same experience, but they're also like, I don't know. My one friend is like completely fluent in French and is in been in like the junior French class like years now. And my other friend is taking two grades ahead in math. So I don't know, but I feel like it's probably just my experience then because they've proven themselves to be exceptional. But I feel like since I'm kind of average, the teachers don't expect more of me like they expect from other students.
No, I get that.
Oh, go ahead.
I surround myself, like my best friends, Jaden and Nigel, are in like the top, like they're literally, they got the top two highest scores on the PSA or the SAT for our grade. And like, I don't know, I not that I like try and compare myself to them, but I try to be like them. Don't tell them I said this, but like, I truly look up to them. You know what I mean? And then like when other people compare me to them, I just shrug it off. I'm like, all right, whatever you say, and move on. I'm me, they're them. At the end of the day,
I want to add on to what you said. In elementary school, all of my best friends were high achievers. It was elementary school, but you know, they were always top. Like, I don't know if y'all know what this is, but we play ST math. in elementary school, and they always had that, there was always ahead of everybody in that. It's a math site. And like the reading, we did reading levels through A to Z, you know, closest to Z, the higher your level was. And they always had high levels. So, you know, we always had that healthy competition between each other. And I think that was good because I wasn't the best elementary school, but because of that that competition and always wanted to, you know, strive to be better. When I got to middle school, I was way better at everything. Like I was in, not what and now, but like better at math, higher grade in math, better at reading. Like I feel like that's good to have friends like that to help you keep you on your game. Can't say none of my friends now, but you know, just they're good, I guess.
Okay, so when we move back to the topic of being Black in school, this kind of ran my mind, and I think that we should probably talk about it. So because my school, we have a couple white kids. It's not a it's not as big as our Black and Latino and Hispanic population, but it is a larger group. This school year has been pretty rocky for Black students specifically. We've had a student, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Kyle Rittenhouse situation. Are you guys familiar with that? Kyle Rittenhouse was a white kid, he was 17 at the time, who crossed state lines with a rifle to go to a Black Lives Matter protest. And he injured and shot a couple people. He was recently actually found not guilty, which is pretty frustrating to me because what he did was illegal. But that's another situation. That's another topic. Anyways, so a student in my grade actually posted something on Instagram, which kind of threw everyone off. Not everyone at all. It threw a lot of Black students off. In the post, he kind of said that Kyle Rittenhouse was using his rifle that he brought to a Black Lives Matter protest as self-defense. He also called him his hero, which made a lot of Black students pretty angry. This is also a kid who in middle school called a Black student the N-word. He's a white student. He says a lot of like really sketchy things that's pretty upsetting. Recently, like maybe 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we had a student whose video got leaked of him calling someone a B word, A word, N word, a white student. And I noticed that at my school, every time there's something that's racially motivated or something that people are not gonna agree on, they tend to defend the white student instead of understanding the Black student's mindset, if that makes sense. Like for the student who called Kyle Rittenhouse his hero, he was escorted all around school and was escorted home as well. For the student whose video got leaked, he also made a school shooting threat, and he was saved. They asked him not to come to school for a while. And at first they were saying it was because they wanted to protect us because it's a school shooting threat. But they later said that they were scared that it was going to be a race war, as in like Black kids jumping said student or hurting said student. So they like really like, and we didn't have any assemblies, like we didn't have any conversations about it. It was kind of like, it happened, move on. And I don't think that's fair at all. But I do think that that is my experience as a Black student in high school. I know Bradshaw goes to the same school as me, so he can probably like say his opinion on it. But like, what do you guys think about it?
Your school's messed up. I don't know. At the high school, like down the road from me, the other one, one white dude said the N-word to a student. I mean, they didn't escort him home, but like during school, they had to escort him around. But when they left the building, they chased him down on bikes to get him. And they had a chat, apparently.
I just want to say, bless your school's heart, honestly, because there's no way, my school, that they would have got the security that was escorted, that was walking him around, and then got the student too, because there's no way. They get mad when just somebody disrespects their friend, and it's the same race, not like racially, but just, you know, regular arguments. So something like that, it would have been, bless your hearts, amen.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. They're very bold for being the minority at the school. Very bold. I mean, my school is a rich school, so their racism is more subtle, you know, that no one would ever outright say the N-word, but they might just like subtly imply that they think that slavery was a choice. So, I mean, I don't know, like that's very crazy. yeah, no, that's very crazy. I'm astonished.
No, I was unmuted. I was trying to find a video, but I wasn't gonna show it, but my friends, like all my Black friends, right after he said it, because like the entire school saw it. It was a whole Instagram page. It was DCI Shade Room, right? It was a whole Instagram page. And he was on it, and every single person reposted that jump, man. And my friends, they were all trying to jump him and stuff. And then, but he wasn't coming to school. And then one of my friends that goes to a different school, he found him. He found the kid that said it and like was taking pictures of him and stuff, showing people where he's at. But, and I heard he got the cops called it to his house too after that threat.
Yeah, he definitely had the cops called. Talking about cops, the cops left our school pretty early on after the threat. My school didn't inform the parents about the threat until we were in school, like 9 o'clock. So a lot of people were leaving that day. But I think like going back to like the video and the Instagram, I think one of the things that was most disappointing for me were the Black students who were like kind of sticking up for their white friends because they're friends. Like one thing for me is I don't really care who you are. If I feel like something is wrong, or if I feel like you did something that is disrespectful, I will call you out on it. And I noticed like a lot of Black students were defending these white students. And like, no shade to Black men, but I feel like majority of the students were Black men. And I feel like at some point, this might get hate, but I think that I feel like a lot of Black men seek white men validation. And I think that a lot of the students who were defending, I know a lot of the students who were defending said students, at least in my grade and the grade right below me, were seeking validation. Rachel, why are you laughing? But yeah.
I don't know about Black men seeking validation, but those people probably were. I don't know. There are some of us that definitely do, but I think most of us don't really care. We're just vibing. But I don't know. Your school is weird. I don't know how any of that stuff gets away, how you get away with that. Because at my school, somebody made a shooting threat. They got Homeland Security called on them. They were like, they got arrested. No, they didn't get arrested. They got taken into custody so they wouldn't do anything. It was bad.
Okay, this was a interesting talk, if I do say so myself. Do you guys have anything else to add on, to comment, any questions, any thoughts? Go ahead, Farrah.
I want to add on to your Black male white validation situation. I'm not saying it's true, but my friend who goes to a different, she goes to a DC charter school. I was on Instagram Live with her, and you know, some of her school friends got on, and you know, one of them just happened to be Black and male, was asking like questions like, how would you feel about a non-Black person saying the N-word? And you know, obviously we said absolutely no, but he was like, I don't think it matters that much because it's just a word. You know, stuff like that, you know, it seems to always be with the that category of people. It depends on age. It depends on age a lot. I'm not saying all, but you know, I am side-eyeing you 15, 14, 16. Yeah, I'm side-eyeing y'all a little bit, you know, but you know, there's always room for growth. And I feel like as a community, we should work on that because that's not cute. It's not okay. But you know, I'm done. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like in terms of like the N-word pass or like people who are genuinely okay with non-Black people saying the N-word, I have yet to meet a Black woman who is okay with it, but it tends to be Black men who are like genuinely okay with it. And I'm not saying it's all Black men, but I am saying that the pattern that I see is that it is Black men around me who are okay with it. And just like you said, Farrah, it's not okay. And it's making our community look a type of way when we are letting people say it. Like half of people are like, yeah, go ahead, say it. It's just a word. And the other half are like, no, like it comes with history. So as a community, I think that we need to, you know, get that situated. Yeah. What do you Black men have to say about it? What do you Bradshaw have to say about
it? I mean, oh yeah, you got it, Bradshaw.
Oh, you got it.
Nah, I insist, bro.
Honestly, I'm not even gonna say that because yeah, I'm gonna talk. But
say it. Just say what you got to say. Come on.
No.
No, you started it. You might as well finish it.
But I guess y'all are right, because I got a lot of friends that I don't really care if people say it either. What?
For me, it's not that I'm like, you can say it. I just know something about you now, so I'm not going to mess with you. I'm not going to talk to you. And you ask me for anything, I'm just not going to give it to you because it shows the way you think. But I'm not going to fight anybody over saying the word. That's too much. I got too much to lose.
Right, I'm saying that's exactly right. Right, man. You will fight somebody over saying that. If somebody calls me that, that's one thing. But if they just say it, then I just know that they're weird. And I'm not going to be cool with them.
If you don't say anything after they say the word, you're giving them an opportunity to call you it. Like, you're literally giving them the opportunity to continuously say it. And the word is rooted in history. Like, it's not just a word. It's not just another cuss word. Like, it has history to it. And I think that a lot of people get confused when Black people say it compared to when a white person says it. Because when Black people say it, we turn the word into a discriminatory word. I don't think that's a word, but I think y'all know what I'm trying to say. We turned the word like from a negative word to something that we just call each other, like an uplifting word. And I think a lot of communities do that, which is why we have slurs. And some people can say certain slurs and some people just cannot say certain slurs. I think the N-word is one of those slurs that everyone should just not be able to say. And I think that, like, you guys are like, oh yeah, well, I'll just stop messing with this person. But if you don't call them out on it, they're going to continue. Like, it's one of those things where they need to be told straight up that they can't say it. And there needs to be consequences, or they're just going to continue to say it.
What do you think the consequences should be?
Yeah, what consequences? You want us to be there? You want us to do something about that?
Right.
It's also very telling that the only solution you see to someone calling you the N-word is fighting them. Like, why is that the first place y'all go?
I never said that. That's why I'm asking what the consequences
should be. You said, I'm not going to fight someone over saying the N-word. Like, they're not other solutions. Like there's nothing else you can do. Like, unless you fight them, you're just going to have to walk away and never talk to them again. Like, there are other things you can do. Like, you could talk to them for one thing. And, like I don't know. I feel like fighting or being completely passive, like, it's not one or the other. It's not a thin line. It's a spectrum. Like, you... There are definitely other ways you could go about that situation. And if someone's calling you the N-word, you can't just sit there and let them call you the N-word.
Like, if someone's calling me the N-word, then I'm going to fight them.
But what's the difference between someone saying the N-word and someone calling you the N-word? It's the same thing. It's the N-word. Like, it's
I don't know. It just seems more disrespectful somebody calling me the N-word. But honestly, if somebody's just saying it and you're getting, like, that mad at it, and they keep saying it, somebody else is going to be more mad at it. So I would just let somebody else handle it, to be honest. I don't want to.
That is how discrimination.
I agree with what you said about the spectrum or how to deal with that, but we're in 2022. You should know that you shouldn't be saying that. So my first mind is, yeah, physical interference. There's going to be some physical. I don't mean like jump the person or hurt the person, but you know, you gotta set their mindset straight, because they should know by now. Don't, like, I feel like talking obviously isn't doing nothing, because we say this repeatedly all the time. You can't say that, don't say that, why are you saying that? And they're still saying it. So obviously they need something stronger. Like during the protesting, a lot of people were saying protesting isn't really getting us anywhere. We need them to hear us. So that's why some started looting. Now, most of them was white people looting, making us look bad. But, you know, some of the mindset was, you know, let's make a stir. Now, I wasn't against looting. If it was Black people just trying to make a, not looting. I'm not, okay. You get what I'm trying to say, I hope. But, like, you got to make some noise. Let them know it's not okay, instead of just saying, oh, that's not okay. If your parent tells you, oh, calmly, oh, don't do that, That's not going to stop a 5-year-old. They still going to do it. Now, when they get yelled at, maybe a slight whipping, then they get the mindset together, you know? So that's what I believe. Now, nobody at my school would dare say that because there's too many Black people at my school for one white kid to say that or one non-Black person to say that. But, you know, to each their own.
Yeah, to go back to, go ahead.
I get what you're saying, Farrah. Like, maybe having a sit down with a racist is not the best way to handle the situation, but throwing hands is not going to do nothing but get you in trouble. Like, I feel like there's definitely still calling up a school or calling up their employer. And guess what? You are currently employing a racist. Now that person doesn't have out of a job, you know? Like, I feel like there are other ways to go about it. Definitely, other than... like, fighting is not the only solution. Talking may not be the best one, but, you know, this, I get what you're saying.
Going back to the protest, when I think that the protest is actually a really good, like, let's use that. For many, many years, I feel like Black people have talked a lot. Like, we educate a lot. We talk a lot, and I think that a lot of people, including certain Black people, think that it's our responsibility to educate someone. We're in 2022. It, like, things change. We are, at least for us, we're not in the middle, like, we're not in the Middle Eastern or Middle Western United States. Like, we are always, like, we're knowledgeable. We know. If we as Black children are knowledgeable, them as white children are knowledgeable. And again, the N-word is one of those words where you just know not to say it. And if you do say it, you have consequences. And I'm not saying, you know, that fighting isn't, or fighting is the best, you know, consequence or whatever. But at some point, you're gonna have to learn. And if I'm consistently telling you that it's not, like, you can't use the word and you still use the word, then okay. Then I'll call a college, or I'll call your employer. I'll call, like, something will happen. If you continue after that point though, I think that you need a more physical consequence to understand that you cannot use the word. Like, if you use the word, then you're gonna get the consequence you deserve.
It's just like all that over a word though, like, that's so much time and energy that I've just put in to this dude that I don't care about personally. I don't care about this dude or anything, and I've just wasted so much time and effort, possibly caught a felony assault charge because I decided to beat him up with a couple of my friends. That's just too much.
But it's not just a word. That, like, I think that we're just skipping over that. It's not just a word. It's not just like someone calling you a hoe. Like, it's a word with meaning. Like, it has meaning and it has history to it. And I think that we just keep skipping over the fact that it has history. And
but there's, like, there's not enough history to go to jail for, you know what I mean? Like, there's too much. There's a cost benefit whatever analysis, right? And to me, like, the benefits, the cost outweigh the benefits for me personally. I mean, I'll talk to them, yeah. If they, I agree, like, calling their employer, that's enough. But, like, I'm not gonna fight anybody over that, like, physically.
See, look, I got a question for you. So, if it's a little white kid, right, like, let's say 5-6 years old, and they're going around saying the N-word, what are you going to do?
First of all, if they're 5 or 6 saying the N-word, that means that the N-word is being said in their house. Like, right. That's learned. That's, like, right. Not as a 5 or 6-year-old, then you have to tell them that that's not okay. That's when you start the education around the word. Like, you can't, obviously I'm not going to jump a 5-year-old. Obviously I'm not going to beat up a 5-year-old. and I can't like call a 5-year-old employer because duh, but like that's where the education starts. A 5-year-old saying it compared to a 15-year-old saying it is two completely different things though.
No, personally, I feel like we live in the information age. Like I can find out anything with a tap of a couple of buttons. Like I have the entire internet in my hands at all times of the day. Like if you are uneducated, it's a choice at this point. Like there's so much information around you all the time. If you're not learning, if you're not gaining, if you're not absorbing any of it, if you don't know in this age not to say the N-word, it's a choice. It's like it's you making an active decision to ignore everything that is around you, everything that people are trying to constantly to educate you. Like there's so much information like being shot at you every day, and you're telling me that you can't absorb this one thing, you can't just learn this one thing, you can't learn how to do that. It's a choice.
I definitely agree with that. I also think that it's a choice to be ignorant. And I think there's a lot of conversation around the word ignorant because people, you know, like to say that it's losing value or whatever. Actively saying the N-word because you want to say the N-word is ignorant. Actively ignoring the history around the N-word is ignorant. And I don't want to be disrespectful to, you know, Bradshaw and Sapri, but I think that as Black boys who the N-word's history literally connects to your history and kind of just pushing it to a side, I think that's ignorant. You know, obviously you guys have your opinions and everyone is entitled to their own opinion. Yeah, that's, yeah. Hey, does anyone have anything else to add on to say? Are you guys feeling a little debreather? No? All right. Well, thank you guys for joining today's meeting. It was a very interesting conversation. Yeah. Okay. Bye, guys.